My name is Jackie Lamport. Today is Wednesday, June 9th. Welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast. Today on the show.
As well, you know, we do intend to continue politically with all of the things that we feel need to be changed in the justice system so that this never happens again.
Last Friday was the one-year anniversary of the killing of Chantel Moore, a woman from the Colquitt First Nation on the island. She was shot to death by an Edmundston police officer in New Brunswick. On Monday, the family learned the officer will face no charges. We hear from the family and community about how they are responding to this result. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Pacific Opera Victoria and Victoria Symphony. Phaedra and Serenade filmed on stage to take over your screens June 10th to July 11th. Co-producer Emily Vance has the story today.
Last week was a somber milestone for the family of Chantel Moore and the Colquitt First Nation. Friday, June 4th, marked 1 year since 26-year-old Chantel was fatally shot by a police officer with the municipal force in Edmundston, New Brunswick. This past Friday, a vigil for Chantel was held at the legislature in Victoria, and a memorial march also took place in the Lower Mainland. Chantel Moore was a member of the Colquitt First Nation in Tofino. She had moved to New Brunswick to be closer to her mother and young daughter. In the early hours of June 4th, 2020, her ex-boyfriend, who was living in Quebec, called Edmundston police to check on her well-being. Messages coming from her phone were making him concerned for her safety. At 2:30 a.m., Officer Jeremy Sun arrived at Chantel's home. In the review released Monday by the BEI, Quebec's Independent Investigations Office, he claims she answered the door holding a knife and began walking towards him. He then shot her 3 times in the chest and once just below her left knee. Since then, her family, the Colquitt First Nation, and the New Channel Tribal Council have called for answers and justice in the wake of her death. This past Monday, when the BEI's investigation was made public, they learned that no charges would be laid against Officer Jeremy Sun, who has still been working for the force on desk duty since the shooting. In a statement, the New Channel Tribal Council called it a, quote, shocking and heartbreaking murder, saying that the lack of charges against the officer in question is, quote, reflective of Canada's persisting colonization and genocidal practices. Chantel is not the only member of the nation to be killed as a result of police violence in the past year. In February, then 28-year-old Julian Jones was fatally shot by RCMP in the community of Apitset on the southern tip of Mears Island near Tofino. The tragedy struck the already grieving community, and leaders put out yet another statement calling for change and stating that the RCMP have killed more Colquitt members than COVID has. Just last month, in May, a third member was shot by police. She survived, but was severely injured and is still recovering in hospital. Capital Daily reporter Brishti Basu spoke with Judith Sayers, the president of the New Channel Tribal Council, and Joe Martin, a relative of Chantel's who speaks for the family. Brishti joins us on today's show for an interview with host Jackie Lamport.
Brishti, thank you for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Jackie.
You spoke to Judith Sayers, who listeners may recall joined our podcast on the last episode where we focused on Chantel Moore's story. What was her initial reaction to the decision?
When I called Judith, the first thing I asked was just, how are you? And the first thing she said was, I've had better days. Then I asked her what happened at the meeting between Chantel's family members and the New Brunswick prosecutors. The big question of, will the officer face criminal charges? And she said, quote, no charges, reasonable force, blah, blah, blah. And you could kind of hear the exhaustion in her voice, and you can tell right away that she's heard these reasons before and that she's been through this process before.
Yeah, so there's no charges against him. They felt he had reasonable force, and even though he did kill her and did shoot. Well, they found 4 bullets in her, and there was a 5th one shot. But the bullet was on the ground really weirdly.
What did you gather from her about the family's response to the council decision?
She wasn't really able to see the family during the meeting. It was a Zoom meeting, and the screen was focused on the lawyer. But she said in her conversations with family members that they are all really upset.
But I know, having talked to several of the members, that they're all very upset. I just can't believe that this man got away with basically killing their family member.
Was this a shock by any means?
I think it was a shock, yes. Given the details of this case, you know, this young woman was shot 4 times. It was a shock to family members, yeah.
Does this mean now that the case is closed?
The possibility of there being criminal charges is over. The case isn't exactly closed, per se. There was a Police Act complaint filed 11 months ago, which can now proceed, now that we know the criminal investigation is over. And then there's a coroner's inquest that's going to start in December. This is where members of the public can present evidence related to the death, but it's just a fact-finding process. It's not going to assign blame in the end.
There's no appeal. Mm-hmm. You know, the Crown Council makes a decision whether to press charges, mm-hmm. and that's it. Mm-hmm. There is, of course, I just mentioned the coroner's inquest. Mm-hmm. There is the Police Act complaint that was filed. 11 months ago that will be proceeding now that we know whether or not the charges have been laid.
Do you know if the family is going to be taking any further actions?
The family is now considering filing a wrongful death civil lawsuit.
And, of course, the civil suit is, you know, something that's important to do to find out if there is any liability civilly. Because, you know, Chantal had a young daughter, mm-hmm. and, you know, and she's lost her mother, and, you know, that, so it would be her estate that would be pursuing this, you know, wrongful death lawsuit.
You also spoke to Chantal's great uncle, Joe Martin, and he's been speaking quite frequently for the family. What was his initial reaction?
Disbelief. He said he doesn't trust the BEI investigation because at the end of the day, it's police investigating police.
You know, it's police investigating police for themselves. They protect themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with them.
There was a lot of mistrust early on with the family to the police, given that they were left in the dark about some of the details about her actual death. They found out on their own that she had been shot in the leg, and they had their own autopsy done. In the report that you read in from the investigation, it said that there was red stains on the wall, and they weren't found to be blood. But Joe is convinced otherwise, and at this point has some reason to be skeptical. What did he say about that?
So when Joe and other members of the family went to New Brunswick to attend Chantal's funeral, he said they went to her apartment and saw bloodstains all over a back room. And when he called the BEI, the investigators, to ask about this, they told him that those are just wine stains. Joe himself is adamant that that's not true, that he's a hunter and he knows a bloodstain when he sees it.
And then so when I called the investigative team in Quebec, police officers, the investigative officers there said to me, he said, oh, those are probably just wine splatters. Said, wine splatters? That's not a wine splatter. I know what blood looks like. I'm a hunter. I've shot animals. And I know when I bleed that it does not look like that.
And the independent report, it doesn't specify what the stains are exactly. There was a forensic analysis, but it just concluded that it's not blood. The report found that Chantal's landlord and the previous tenant in her apartment both said that there was traces of red substance on the wall before Chantal moved in. But again, there's no clarity on what that substance is.
And we'll take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Today's Capital Daily podcast is brought to you by Pacific Opera Victoria and Victoria Symphony. Immerse yourself in the passion of Phaedra and Serenade, a 2-night premiere of Benjamin Britten's small-scale epic masterpieces. Conducted by Maestro Timothy Vernon, this dynamic double-bill performance from Pacific Opera Victoria and the Victoria Symphony features mezzo-soprano Allison McCarty, tenor Colin Ainsworth, a horn player Alana Despins, and musicians of the Victoria Symphony. Phaedra premieres Thursday, June 10th at 7:30 p.m. Serenade for tenor, horn, and strings premieres Friday, June 11th, also at 7:30 p.m. Before you spoke to Joe after the investigation results were put out, you had also spoken to him at the vigil on Vancouver Island, and this was just shortly after Chief Delmanic had announced that he is supportive of the creation of a mental health force that would respond to wellness checks instead of police, which is something that activists and people in the scene have been calling for a very long time. What did Joe think about that?
For Joe, he said that he appreciated that Chief Manic is one person in one police force trying to do, in his words, uplifting work. And Joe hopes that this type of initiative gains momentum and is adopted by police forces across Canada soon.
I do know that across the country that, you know, there are so many different situations, and I hope that this kind of initiative would move quickly. I pray that it does.
Judith Sayers also spoke about this.
You know, we've been asking for a review of wellness checks, and just in case there are other options other than trauma-informed. We've been asking for a review of de-escalation tactics, use of force, because, you know, we just feel like four shots, each fired five shots, is excessive, way too much, you know, and why do they need to do this? It just doesn't make sense. So reviewing the excessive use of force, more training culturally, because, you know, we just feel, you know, and then I think it's long been known that there's some people that feel that there's no value in Indigenous lives, and we need to get all officers across this country to respect and value Indigenous people.
With your conversations with Judith and with Joe, do you feel like you get the sense that the family is really going to be pushing a lot further in this fight?
Absolutely. I don't think the story is over by any means. You know, with the civil lawsuit, with the Police Act complaint, and with the coroner's inquest, I think we're going to hear a lot more about Chantel Moore.
As well, you know, we do intend to continue politically with all of the things that we feel need to be changed in the justice system so that this never happens again.
Brishti, thank you so much for your work on this.
Thanks for having me, Jackie.
Joe also took the time in speaking with Brishti to express his frustration over the prevalence of police shootings of Indigenous people in Canada.
Police shootings of Indigenous peoples have been going on quite a bit, because right after that, 8 days later, after Chantal was shot, this fellow Rodney Levi was shot over there at a village in New Brunswick, where we had a chance to go and visit. And then here at the village of Hobbitsit, a young man was shot here about a month ago. And he was shot dead by the RCMP over there. And he's just a little guy. He's just 5 feet high, for God's sake. And then my niece, Melinda Martin, was shot over there in Ucluelet. And she was telling her mom that she just started speaking like 2 days ago, and apparently told her mom that while she was laying on the ground, this policeman was standing on her hand and broke her fingers.
Judith also told Brishti what she hopes will happen going forward.
You know, I'm hoping that as they review this officer's actions, that they see that, you know, he made some really bad calls, and he admits this in that report. You know, that, you know, they look seriously at his viability as a police officer. And, you know, they may, you know, remove him from being a peace officer. And from the coroner's report, I just really hope, you know, from whatever evidence is in the coroner's report, that all of the aspects of what happened can be reviewed.
For more on this story, you can read Brishti's online copy for the full story at capitaldaily.ca. Do you want to help support Capital Daily's local journalism and connect your business with our engaged and curious Greater Victoria audience of over 50,000? Email our partnerships team at advertising@capitaldaily.ca. Thank you so much for spending some of your day with us today. If you enjoy the show, please rate and review, and also subscribe so that you don't miss anything going forward. We post new shows every Monday to Friday. My name is Jackie Lamport. This is the Capital Daily Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.